and welcome to You've Got Kids. I'm Anya and today I have the wonderful Vicky Wall with me. We're doing a special series called Special Mums with Special Kids, and I've invited Vicky into the studio today to talk to me about her lovely children, but especially her beautiful little girl, Leodon.
Hi Anya, thanks for having me in.
Do you want to tell us a little bit about your story? First of all, tell us your whole background and, you know, the...
Yeah, so I have four wonderful kids. Shannon is 21, mm-hmm. had her quite young. Tiger's 17. And then Leodon would have been 5 now. And I've Oren at home now that's 4. So a big, huge gap, which was pretty traumatic, won't lie. So I have 4 children, 4 amazing kids. Shannon's in college.
How is little Oren doing now?
He's great. He started Nina. I don't speak any Irish, but I really wanted him to speak Irish. I've really gone into that in a big way. I was born in Ireland, but I grew up in the UK. So that was really important for me. So he started in September and he's saying words and I'm trying to learn words, which is going to be really fun. but the school is brilliant and he's really picking it up and he's doing great. And he loves it. I didn't think he would. Oren being a what they call a rainbow baby, which is a baby after loss. I don't think I put him down out of my arms for about 9 months. And that's not even messing. That's serious. I totally breastfed him. I took a year off work to be at home with him. And I think it took about definitely 5 months before I believed that he wasn't going to die as well. I was fully convinced that I was just going to lose him to cot death or he was just going to choke or something. I was convinced I would wake up and see him asleep and he would look just like Leodon in her coffin. And then I would spend an hour, just a week, watching him with that fear that I was going to lose him too. So I don't think people really understand, and nor could they, the huge... complex feelings you have parenting after loss. It's tough, and you need a lot of support. I think you need a lot of support.
Absolutely, I can only imagine. Vicky, I know we kind of jumped into it there a little bit, because number one, I was saying I have this massive migraine today and I've lost my vision, so I'm trying to concentrate across the desk. But I want to just go back a little bit more. Can you tell us about how you found out about when you were expecting Leodon? And I want to hear a little bit more about Leodon's story, if you are okay to tell.
Yeah, absolutely. I love talking about her. So I was in a new relationship that I hadn't really discussed with people. It was pretty new. And I found out I was pregnant. So it was a big shock. It was a big, you know, oof, wobble. How am I going to manage this? I was 37. Mm-hmm. But when it settled in, it was okay. I knew we'd manage. And I thought, you know, I can do this. It's fine. I remember having a look on my phone, you know, what size she would be when I found out. I found out straight away. I was pregnant. I knew straight away. And as they famously say, the blob of cells, she was literally this little blob then. But I just felt fiercely protective of her. Because I'd never want, strangely, even though, you know, I was only 4 weeks pregnant, I'd never want her to think that she was ever unwanted. And even at that stage, I felt that. And I just took it on the chin, you know, I was like, this will be okay. So it took me a long while to tell people. I had to adjust to it myself. And, you know, my partner was over the moon. He was a very supportive and great guy. And... We found out then at 24 weeks that she was sick, which felt like a kick in the teeth, not just for her being sick, but the fact that I had, you know, told people she was coming, you know, and people are very judgmental of me. They were very, it was tough. People were like, oh, you know, we didn't know you were seeing somebody and aren't you a bit old and shouldn't you know better and all those kind of things. And so it was tough to tell people that she was coming along. So I felt I took all this flack and then all of a sudden she wasn't going to live. We got the diagnosis that she had trisomy 18. So I was a bit cross with that, obviously upset as well. But I just thought, what is this to prove? Why, you know, how does this happen? I think people that know about Leiden, and a lot of people do, know that the doctor offered me to go to England to end the pregnancy. But as soon as I found out she was sick, I was even more protective of her.
How did that like make you feel? You know, I can only imagine, first of all, you have this, you know, new life coming into the world. And as you said yourself, it was a shock to your system. You're getting your head around all of that. And you become positive, you know, I'm going to do this and it's going to be grand. I'm going to be fine. And then to be given such tragic news and, you know, your whole world turned upside down. And then you have all of this external control. I just say the external world always has their input saying how you should be and, you know, what you should do. And, you know, and then, you know, to find out then from that your doctor who's supposed to look after you and look after Leiden is asking you to go to England.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, when this was happening, when this conversation was happening, I'm looking at her on a really big screen, definitely a 50-inch screen. And she's kicking and she's moving and she's putting her hand into her mouth. And I can see this so clearly. And it just doesn't make sense, because I remember, like it was yesterday, the feeling of love I had for her there and then. It was huge. I was Mama Bear at that point. And I think he knew by my face, because I didn't even answer him and he didn't mention it again. I think my face said enough. But I would have done anything for her there and then. Anything. I remember the train journey home and just being able to not stop crying and being so angry and, you know, how does this happen to babies? Like, babies are perfect. Everybody, you know, knows babies are perfect. They're just these little pink bundles. And the ignorance of just being pregnant and having your baby with no problem was just whipped away from me. And as they say, ignorance is bliss.
Yeah.
You know, and I'd never really heard of anybody that their baby was sick or anything like that. I didn't know these stories. So I remember going home and all I wanted to do was get into my bed. And I think the train had an extra stop or something. There was a diversion on the road on the drive home then from the train station. And it just felt like it took days to get home. I just needed to get into my bed. And when I got there and I was finally alone, I remember howling. And people say, you know, these kind of screams from a mother, but just howling and howling and howling so loud that I lost my voice, you know, because the pain that she was going to die. And it was very strange for me because, you know, I thought, you know, I don't know her. I haven't met her. I never thought you could feel like that about a little baby that was inside you that you hadn't met yet. I mean, I would have known people that have had early losses and I would have been a bit kind of blasé about it. Now, I'll be honest, I would have been a bit like, oh, that's terrible, and just move on from that. So it shocked me how hard I took it. You know, I was so devastated and I just, you know, just wanted her to be okay. I wanted somebody to fix her and help her. I just thought that she could be fixed.
I can only imagine how that feels. I can't even go there in my head. So I have such admiration for you. And every time I hear you talking about Leiden, it just gets me right in the throat. Like, it's just like, oh my God. But one of the things that I always remember you saying about Leiden, that she was a lesson in love. And that always, it always stuck in my mind. Like, I was like, that's very powerful. How you look at, you know, even your own, in your own grief, you find meaning.
She was amazing. And that's why I now know that these babies change the world. Before I had Leiden, I was so work focused. I worked Monday to Friday. I went out with my friends on the weekend. I would get my hair blow dried every week. I would get my nails done. These were my things. You know, my children were older. They would be at their friends at the weekend or whatever. And you know, I was just so self-assured and settled in this life. And it was a very shallow life. You know, it was a good life and everything was okay. I was never bad to anybody. But, you know, it's just, that was my main thing, get my hair done and my nails, and I didn't think much about anything else. And I remember, again, when I first found out about Liad, and I was like, oh, how am I going to afford this baby? You know, how am I going to go back to work? Who's going to mind this baby? I don't have the money for it. I'm too old. I don't want to be waking at night. And then as soon as I found out she was sick and she wasn't going to stay here, I remember saying a prayer, and I probably hadn't prayed in many, many years. Mm-hmm. And I just said, let me keep her and I'll give up everything. I'll give up this house. I will give up my car. I will give up my job. I will sleep in a shed with her. I will keep her warm with my body. I will give up everything if you just let me keep her. And it just hit me like a brick, you know, that what really does matter. And I'm ashamed to say that, you know, it took that for me to actually see what, you know, what life and love is about. But she really did. She really showed me that what's important. And, you know, you might be a bit behind in your electricity bill, or you mightn't be able to buy a certain outfit or a pair of shoes that week or something, or other really stressful things. You know, other people have massive stresses in their life. But, you know, I think when you have your family and your loved ones around you and you're well and healthy as you can be, then that's really, you know, the bottom line.
Your health. Really is,
absolutely, yeah.
It's so true what they say, your health is your wealth.
Absolutely, yeah.
One of the things that I hear you saying, like, you know, you'd feel ashamed that it took for all of this to happen to you, losing Leodon, and that for you to realise that. But I do think, you know me, I'm a woman of great faith. And I do think that sometimes, I don't think God punishes anybody or anything like that. You know, the way you often hear, and my own ma lost two little girls. And my mum's very like you. You're very similar in ways. Like, she's very philosophical and understands, you know, the way the world works. And I always remember her saying everything happens for a reason. And just because we don't know the reason, that the reason is with God, he knows the reason. And when I hear you saying, you know, take, you feel ashamed, but that's what it took for you to realise what's important in life.
And she was an absolute gift. Yeah. An absolute gift. And I mean, even when I say that, I feel a little bit of guilt. And this is where the parenting comes in, you know, because I'm still her mum. Yeah. That's still my little girl. But she has been an absolute gift to me, and she has brought me places that I never would have imagined. I wouldn't be here with you today. You know, I wouldn't know you. I wouldn't have done all I've done in the last couple of years. You know, all the places I've been, all the people I've met, if it wasn't for her.
Yeah.
And it's like, for such a short life, you know, how can anybody say that that doesn't matter? Now, I would trade it all in a heartbeat. Some people would say to me, especially if I talk at a big event and people would be congratulating me, when I go home, it's very lonely because I don't have her, you know. And when people are like, oh, well done on sharing your story and stuff, you still have to go home and you're still without that baby, and you would still swap everything to have them here with you, you know. And I sometimes find when I say that she taught me lessons and she was a gift, that can almost be a bit unfair on somebody that's newly bereaved, because, you know, it takes a long time to feel.
To get to that point.
Absolutely.
To get to that point.
Yeah.
But I think it's also, it's good to know that you do get to that point. And I don't think that it's, like, you know, what we're saying here, what you were saying is intentionally unfair to anybody. Mm. And it could be a comfort to somebody knowing that, you know, look, Vicky's been through this and look where she is now, and I know I can get there too, because grief is a process, and grief is so different for everybody. Like, I mean, I know when my mum lost Mary and Angel, she said she took it harder when she lost Angel, even though she was she lost Mary at 7 months pregnant and then lost Angel at 20 weeks pregnant. And she said she took it harder the second time around. Not that she loved any child more or the other, but for obviously the two deaths
combined,
it hit her harder. And but like you, she's very philosophical. Like, I think when she lost Mary, there was a girl in the hospital who'd been trying for a baby for a long time, and she had a little girl. And, you know, my mum was happy for her.
Yeah.
And she said, I've got two kids at home. I'm blessed in that sense, you know. And
And that's huge. I mean, that shows the strength of a woman she is, because I have to say now, there was times that I saw people with their new babies and it hurt. And, you know, I would have been jealous. I wouldn't have been as good as your mom now and that. But I mean, now I'm 5 years on. But as you said, grief is a process and it varies just from everybody.
Everybody is different in their grief, I think, because even now, like, we went to Mary's grave for her 30th birthday. And I had found, they're up in the Angels Plot in Glasnevin, and I was so happy because they were actually back to back, just like one stone away from each other, but back to back, to get me? And I said to my mother, they're right beside each other. So when Mary turned 30, we went up to the graves and we put flowers down. It was lovely to see my mum do that. And so I think even 30 years on, you might find something different in your grief.
Absolutely.
You know, and like obviously, even for me, I can remember as a child, you know, being told you're getting a baby sister and holy God needed the baby more, you know, that kind of way. And, but it does something, I think, as you said, there's a lesson in it, like, because it does make you forgive people quicker, I think, and be kinder to people. So even, you know, like when you're saying about the, you're ashamed that it took all of this to happen, but I think that's life in general, isn't it? Like sometimes it takes
something massive.
So yeah, and something so hard to kind of make you realise how lucky I am, and that I have to love these people, and I have to forgive this person, and I can't be bitter about this, and I can't be bitter about that. But not only did Leah Dan's story and her life teach that to you, because it's all happened to you, you are also telling the world. And I remember the first time I heard you talking about Leah Dan, I was listening on the radio and I was in the car and I just like Niagara Falls, and it was around the time of the referendum, and I was like, oh Jesus, I was like, couldn't even see out the window driving the car, because I was like, it was so moving. So it's a lesson in life for you, but you get to teach the world that.
Like, even one of the huge things I remember is not long after I lost her, I'm really not one of the soccer moms. I'm like, I'm terrible. They're like, the kids are playing a match or something. I'm like, no, it's too cold. I don't want to go. Your dad will go. But I went to see Tig play football, and he's running around the field, and I was just in awe that he could do that. You know, I was like, Leaden, had she lived, would have been very, very disabled. And I thought, look at him go, look at him run, look how perfect he is, look how blessed and lucky I am that, you know, he's, and I remember it was so massive hitting me that I had taken him, his health and, you know, for granted for so long, you know, and we would have taken Leaden with both arms wide open, no matter how sick she would have been. That goes without saying, but you know, I just really looked at him and I thought, I'm so lucky, you know, to have well, healthy children.
Absolutely. My mum always says pregnancy is a 9-month wonder. No, you know, that's what she says. It's a 9-month wonder, aren't you? Until they're in your arms, you just don't know, you know. But they're all little blessings, no matter what. And Leah Dan led you to work with the amazing Every Life Counts. So I want you to kind of tell everybody a little bit about Every Life Counts and that journey.
When we got the diagnosis, I was told not to Google anything, so I actually didn't, which is very strange for me. And I didn't get any support or anything like that. And it was actually after she was born, I went to the launch of Now I Lay Me Down to Sleep, and they do remembrance photography for the babies. And I went to that and I met the wonderful Karen from Every Life Counts. And we got talking and she was telling me about all they do and that they do remembrance and memory making for your babies, even though they had passed. And I just fell in love with the organisation. I just thought, how perfect. I felt a little bit cheated that I hadn't found them before. And since then, really, well, I didn't know, actually, because I was that was only 6 months into my grief. I didn't actually start kind of helping with them till about 2016, when I was ready, because my grief was really hard. I took losing her really, really tough. And then, so with Every Life Counts now, I help with them. And it's great just to say to a mum, I just know how you feel, that you're not going crazy, that how you feel is perfectly normal, and I'm here if you need to talk. And we have a big group of mums that have all been through this, and we just connect, and it just works really well. It's a very simple thing that we do, keeping in touch. And we'd send care packages out to mums that their babies are sick as well, which is lovely, because that was another thing when I was pregnant on lead, and people just started ignoring my pregnancy then. Really? You know, it was just people acted like I was not pregnant. And I found that really hurtful. And going into hospital, giving birth, and I really didn't want an epidural because I wanted to be up and around as soon as I could. So I had Leiden on a half dose of pethidine. And even after having her, you're leaving the hospital with a dead baby. And nothing in this world can prepare you for that. We could have brought her home in a coffin, and I really didn't want to do that. I wanted to show her around the house. And this is how we got into this podcast, because I had all the exact same feelings as any other mother would. I was proud of her. I kept kissing her. When I think back now, if I had been looking at myself, I would have thought I was going a bit mad, because I was showing people her hair. I was like, look, she has such dark curly hair. And my other babies hadn't had hair. They were bald as eggs. So mm-hmm. I was just so in love with her having hair. And I'm sure when I kept showing people her hair, they were like, this is it, Vicky's lost it. But you've all those parenting feelings and a mother's instinct. Again, I never would have realised how strong that is until you don't have the baby to pour that instinct into. So, you know, Leiden got buried, and the pain, and there's a saying, you know, empty arms syndrome. It is actually a real thing where your chest hurts from not holding that baby. You ache. It's an ache I think I hugged her bear for about 6 weeks. And again, people were very judgmental about that. They were like, you've other children, you have to pick yourself up, you can't. But I think as guilty as I felt at the time that I was wronging my other children, they had to see that I loved her as much as I loved them, and that I grieved her the same as I would have grieved them, you know, that she was and is, you know, that part of our family. But people would come into the house and I wouldn't be after washing or moving off the couch, and I would be just there with her teddy holding it. And, you know, they would be like, oh, you can't be like this, and you can't do this, and you can't, you know, you should be doing better. And it's like, no, you can't say that to a mother until you felt that pain, until, you know, you can never judge, and just let people, you know, grieve. They need time, and they should be given time. It's not just because that baby didn't take a breath on this earth, that mother doesn't love that baby any less at all.
Their life is just as valuable and as important, and absolutely, it's still like, she'll always be your child.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I can't even imagine like what that's like, you know, having people again having their input when you're going through that. That's something I never really thought about, because I would have been very young when my sisters passed away, so I never witnessed anything like that, you know, that kind of way. But listen to you now, that sounds so hard.
I think grief is more accepted now than it would have been. My heart breaks for women that wouldn't have been left to see their baby. We got to bring Leiden home, we got pictures taken with her.
Did what are they?
Now letting me down to sleep. Yeah. Beautiful, beautiful organisation, and the photographer came to the house. So we have a full 2 photo albums of Leiden and all of us with her, and, you know.
Amazing.
And because sometimes, not now I don't, but I probably about a year after losing her, I was like, did that just happen to me? But did she happen? And I'd have to go look at her pictures again. I'd be like, yeah, there she is. And it would almost be like a panic that I'd forget her. But now that I've healed, I mean, I'm 5 years on now, and I miss her now. The feeling is very different. She's always missing. If I take a picture with my 3 other children in it, straight away I'll be like, oh, that's a lovely picture. But straight away it'll be like, but she's missing. You know, she'll always be missing from these pictures. You know, so there's always that. But she's just a huge part of our lives. I mean, even Shannon now for my birthday and Mother's Day and anything like that, she'll sign Leiden's name in the card. Oh, which I love. Yeah.
That's lovely, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, I love that.
And
yeah,
you have as well the Leodan's little garden that you built as well.
I do. You know, there's so much, like, her handprints hanging in the hall, and you know, she's just always there. And I think that really helped me heal when people thought that I was grieving very severely and hard. I think that's what got me through it, is I let myself do that. I didn't care.
You're right.
I didn't care that I took extra time off work. I didn't care that I didn't want to have a shower. I didn't care that I didn't want to leave the house. And I grieved in my way, and I grieved really hard for her, because she was worth that grief. She was a huge loss to me, a huge loss to me and my family. And she's worth every second of that pain, because your grief is just your love.
Of course.
Just in reverse.
That's a very good way of putting it, Vicky. And then you have the beautiful little Lauren as well. And
oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He's a little terror, though.
That's another podcast.
You know, this whole rig. Like I said, you know, I'm sure I didn't put him down for 9 months, you know. And but he just every single day makes my heart want to burst. I look at him and he smiles at me. And like I said, he's a terror. Like this, he's definitely guilty of elder abuse. And he's just, you know, but yeah, he makes my heart absolutely burst. He really does.
But I'd say you're the same for all your kids, because I just know you're just such a wonderful mother and a wonderful human being, and you know, we all love you. And I just want to say thanks very much for coming in and doing this today, because
I love talking about it.
I know you do. I know you do, and I love listening to you talk about her. Thanks for coming in today, and next week. We should have Aoife back, I think, but we'll catch you next time either way, and you've got kids.